Welcome to this week's episode of The Nerdy Rat. In Ratty Topics, we'll be talking about mites and rats and updates on our fosters. And then we're going to get into reviewing the Blade Runner movie that just came out. So here we go.
Welcome to the Nerdy Rat.
Welcome.
This is Wednesday, the 11th of October.
Yep.
And I think this month we're going to try and do a couple of shows relatively close together so we can pop two out before I do Extra Life at the end of the month.
When you said pop two out, though, that sounded like a pregnancy reference.
Pop two, just birth to yes. Two podcasts this month.
That's right. We'll labor and deliver two podcasts just for you. Loyal listeners.
Yeah. So let's see. We were going to start with our update
on our fosters. So why don't you do that? Because they were your little baby girls that you adored so much.
So Gwen and Mary Jane got adopted 2 days ago. What, Sunday?
Yep.
Sunday. I guess that was 3 days ago now. But they went to a very, very nice seeming lady who adopted them. And they did great. She came over to the house and we introduced them, and they were very well behaved for her.
Yep, and they crawled all over her while she held him in the bonding pouch. Well, they did stay in the bonding pouch some, and then they also explored a little bit.
I gave her the bonding pouch and then handed her the rats. And they did really well. I think they've come around a lot, and I think they're in a good spot. I think they're going to be happy in their new home, and they're going to go live with two other older rats that she already has, and she's going to introduce them.
Yep, and she bought a second cage, so she's going to have a big enough cage.
Well, she bought a bigger cage.
Yeah, she bought a bigger cage.
The 690.
Martin 690.
Which is, it's not quite as big as a Critter Nation, but it's pretty close. It's like a three-story Martin's cage.
Yeah, and so she brought that so she could home them separately while she does the introductions. And then once they're introduced with each other, they'll all live in the bigger cage. And so her rats are actually a lot older, and she was kind of planning ahead because she knows she's probably going to lose them soon. And she didn't want to have like a single rat by itself who got depressed.
Yeah,
so.
That's something you always have to think about as your rats get older.
Yeah.
What you're going to do when you start to lose them. So I think that's good. That's always fun to get new rats.
And these girls are so young. They're only about 4 months old. Yeah, so
I did get pretty attached to them because
I know you did.
I feel like they kind of bonded with me. And
they
like,
did.
Like in the course of getting them to be more social and like they never seemed like really like scared, like super scared of people. They were just scared of everything in general.
Yeah.
Like it used to be if I was interacting with them and you made a noise behind me, they would run and hide in a corner, and they weren't really like that. And when they the past couple weeks and
no
they've
really come around, they really got a lot
I had gotten them to the point where I could put them on my shoulder and walk around the house and they would not freak out. And they would not run away.
Yep. And then they were also doing a good job interacting with me too. I don't know if you guys remember from a previous podcast, we said one of them had gotten out at the shelter before the rescue got there, and it was quite an ordeal getting her caught again. So I think that's why they were so scared and so skittish.
Well, and the first thing I usually, like, the first thing we did with them when we got home, really, was to put them in their cage and just leave them alone for, like, almost the first week, I think. I didn't really even try to interact with them a whole lot.
Really? It was that long?
It was at least 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, just to kind of let them get comfortable because they were so scared.
They need to feel safe in their home before they can really learn to interact. So I really just, I kind of ignored them a little bit. Like, we still feed them and give them treats and stuff, but they weren't really interested. And then when I first started trying to interact with them, one thing I figured out I could do was I could hold up the bonding pouch, and they would climb in on their own a lot.
Right. And then that made it easier for Matt to start interacting with
them. Yeah, and that's kind of where we started with the interactions. Yeah.
So. And Matt tended to interact with them more than I did this time around because they were really on a night schedule, which is not abnormal for rats. But Matt works the late shift, so he was able to really work with them when they were up and energetic.
I would
play.
I wouldn't do a lot of, like, I wouldn't do a ton of like long intensive mm-hmm, interactions. Exactly. I would do more short interactions mm-hmm. More frequently. So like 4 or 5 times a night I'd go over and I'd pick them up and play yeah. with them and then put them right back down. So yeah. they kind of got used to like, okay, this is normal.
Right.
This is scary, right. you know, and yeah. I'm not going to be.
Right. It really helped him a lot. So. I think it really, really helped him a lot. Yeah. And then, too, I think it showed him that, oh, we're not going in the bonding pouch or we're not having extended snuggles every time. So, yeah. you know, we don't need to get ourselves all worked up about it.
Yeah. But they're good. They're energetic little mm-hmm. girls.
Oh,
they're
so sweet. They love having their wheel. And I think they're going to fit in real well with their new sisters. And
yeah.
Yep. So we are wishing them the best of luck.
As busy as this month is going to be, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to get another pair of fosters until probably November.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we just have a lot going on.
Yes, but you know, I have a little bit more flexibility with my schedule.
That's true.
If we are offered them, you know, we'll take them.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk a little bit, too, about our own little girl, Dawn, who we just adopted. And so much cuteness happening in the cage this week with her. She's really been fitting in great. She's becoming a lot bolder. Like tonight, even we're going to post a video on our YouTube page later. She is like bold enough now to like eat dinner with all the other girls and like compete for the corn and like find the best pieces and stuff like that. Well, yesterday there was such a little cute happening. I heard some squabbling happening in her litter box tent. They have like a flipped litter box and that's where she likes to hang out underneath it. So I went over there to see who was sassing her, and it was Pinky, who can be a little bit mean sometimes. But what was so cute was as soon as I lifted the litter box up, and I was over there like immediately, Toro and Fievel ran under there and protected her from Pinky.
No,
they love her. They yeah. love her. They're like her big brothers.
Notice Pinky has been the one really fighting with kind of everybody. She was fighting with yeah. the Creesa mm-hmm. a couple of days ago. I was like, who's fighting him? It was her and Creesa both mm-hmm. like on their hind legs, kind of boxing with each other.
And you know, she's been snuggling Creesa a lot recently since Creesa's had her mammary tumor surgery. But the thing is, I think with Pinky, she's a very tiny girl, but she's a feisty girl. And she wants to be an alpha, but she's not the alpha. And I also think sometimes she just feels a little bit bullied and picked on sometimes. And then she gets overly aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think she feels insecure sometimes about her place in the cage. And then she gets aggressive.
Yeah.
Just like human children. But yeah, so I tried actually that night after, you know, I let her simmer down a little bit. And then I snuggled with her in the bonding pouch with actually with Creesa and with Toro and Nim. And she really likes that. And I think if I can just kind of interact with her a little bit more frequently, like sometimes, do you remember a couple of weeks ago I was like taking her out and just giving her animal crackers, just her?
Yeah.
And she really likes that. And that makes her feel special, you know, and then she doesn't feel as inclined to fight with everybody because she realizes that she's loved, too, and she's a special girl, too. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But I just thought what I thought was so precious was how Toro and Fievel ran over there. They were like, who's messing with you, yeah. baby girl? Who's messing with yeah. you? We'll protect you. We'll protect you.
Yeah. Almost everybody in the cage pretty much gets along with each other. It's just
once in a while,
Pinky and Creesa kind of are trying to decide who's mm-hmm. who's going to be running the cage, and they fight. And I think nobody else really cares.
Right. Because Nim feels assured of her place no matter what. And well, you know what, though? No, that's not true, because Nim and Toro had to kind of work things out when Toro first came in, because he's a pretty dominant rat. Yeah. And Creesa is a pretty dominant rat. And so I'm not surprised that her and Pinky were kind of going at it. And also, I noticed that Creesa was having some problems with Dawn, our baby girl, because Creesa had actually been out of commission for a little bit with having her mammary surgery. So she had just been sleeping a lot in her hammock right when we integrated Dawn into the cage. So like she had done the intros with Dawn and everything before her surgery, but then she just was kind of napping in her hammock a lot. And then all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute, who's this new girl in my cage? You know, and she kind of tried to assert herself against Dawn a little bit the last couple weeks too.
Yeah. So...
But anyway, you know what? They're working it out, and we're going to have a peaceful cage because that's what mommy insists on.
Yeah. So what are these two videos that you sent me for our YouTube about?
Oh, they're just about dinner because they were being cute. And well, actually, I was taking some of Creesa for her mom, who, you know, her real mom. who had to give up Krisa when she moved. And so I was taking one of Krisa, and then I was like, oh, wait, I'll take another one for just for our podcast. So you can put them both on the podcast.
Okay, so I'm going to name them Ratty's Having Dinner and yes. Ratty's Having Dinner 2.
Exactly.
So those, so are, like the those first are going up right now. Oh, so by okay. the time you awesome. Listen to this, they will be on our awesome. YouTube.
So yeah, the first one is pretty short, and I wasn't really saying much because I thought I'd just send it to Krisa's mom. But then I was like, oh, wait, I should do one for the YouTube. So the second one I actually narrate, and I talk about like who's who and what's going on and all cool. of that. So it's more of a nerdy rat style
very cool
video. But they're being so cute, and I really liked how Dawn was interacting with everybody tonight, like just right up in there getting her dinner, mm-hmm. fighting for the corn. So I was happy they were doing good.
Yep. So we had to treat all of our rats with Revolution mm-hmm. this week.
And so that's cat not, Revolution or kitten Revolution?
So well, actually, so they're the same thing. Okay. But if you're going to get it, mm-hmm. get Revolution, the blue box for cats. Mm-hmm. You can get the kitten one, but it's mm-hmm. the same, but you don't get as many doses out of the kitten. Because so basically...
tell people what it's for, because we didn't even say what it's for yet. People might not know.
So Peter had some scabs on his back, mm-hmm. and we think it might be mites. That's usually what that is when you have like little tiny scabs.
Yeah, it's usually if your cage is well integrated, it's not going to be from fighting. It's usually from mites. And yeah. I've seen a lot usually of people on Facebook not know what it is. Yeah, it's mites.
If it's from fighting, mm-hmm. it's usually going to be longer, mm-hmm. longer cuts
and
on the skin.
It won't just be little tiny
rarely actually cut each other.
Exactly.
Or if it's a bite, it's like a deep gash. But like these little tiny circular scabs that they get, it's usually from mites. And mm-hmm. mites is something that all rats pretty much have. Yeah. And it's usually maintained by grooming, mm-hmm. and some rats have more problems with it than others, mm-hmm. and when it gets out of control, you can treat it with Revolution. And the Revolution that you treat with, it's the blue box for cats. Mm-hmm. The one I order from is from an English website,
and it's probably because you can't get it in the US without a doctor's prescription.
Yeah. It's called Stronghold in mm-hmm. Europe, or in England, where I order it from. Mm-hmm. But you get it. It's a blue box for cats. It's a little vial, and you put like one or two drops on their neck and then rub it in.
Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure it gets in the skin, not just in their fur. Yeah, so it's like a little liquid.
Pull their fur back and put the drops on their
like
skin.
Like right on the skin.
And
then rub it in.
If you get the
bit.
One for cats, you could get enough to treat a large, like we treated all 10 of our rats, mm-hmm. and I think we have almost enough to give every other rat a second dose. Mm-hmm. If you get the ones for kittens, it's a much smaller dosage per vial, so you won't be able to treat as many rats with it. Mm-hmm. So, but if you only have like two rats, that might be a good option to get the kitten
because otherwise you
might just waste the second dose. After you open it, you can refrigerate it and then use it again.
Uh-huh. You don't necessarily have to do a second dose. Like, actually, one dose usually does clear it up. But if you want to be safe and you know,
a second dose after like a couple weeks or a month is usually enough to take care of any lingering issues. But that usually gets it back in check. And as long as mm-hmm. the scabs all heal and they don't come back, you should be okay.
Now, the first dose, what it does is it kills all the mites that are currently on the skin, but it also kills any eggs that they've laid. So it will still take a couple weeks for this current scabs to heal up, but they shouldn't be getting new ones after
that. Yeah, it absorbs into
their
system, so it like
kills
it
goes into
the
their
eggs,
bloodstream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so, Toya had some scabs too, and a couple of the other ones I noticed have had a little one. So it's good that we treated everybody.
Yeah, it's like they all kind of have it, and mm-hmm. if they're not really affected by it, it's not.
If you're
like,
not seeing
you may
scabs,
not
you don't
to
need
treat
to worry
all of
about
them,
it.
But we figure go ahead and treat everybody in the cage.
Because if a few have it, we might as well treat them all.
Yeah, and
you
I don't want to treat one and then have someone else get it. So
exactly.
We figure just treat everybody all at the same time.
And I wanted to bring that up because I notice on the Facebook rat groups, a lot of people don't know what it is when they see the scabs. And then there's a lot of misinformation out there about how to treat
them. I've seen the thing where a lot of people say to put like olive oil on them or something, and like that.
Yeah, there's weird recommendations like wash them.
I don't know if that stuff works. I've never really tried it.
Our rescue has always recommended just doing Revolution, and in fact they treat every rat they take in with Revolution as a precautionary method. Yeah. So
some people say to like treat the scabs with Neosporin, which
I don't know about that
I don't like, because I developed a severe allergy to Neosporin after using it for years.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to one of my doctors, and that's apparently really common with Neosporin is people to get an allergy from overuse of it, basically. It's a pretty, I guess it's a pretty strong allergen.
I guess. And like the thing is with rats, too, they're just going to lick it. So, you know, they're just going to lick it off.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily that good for
them. I don't really think that's,
So, yeah, anyway, Revolution is really our recommendation. It's the best. It's simple.
Yeah,
the only issue, like I said, is that on the Facebook groups, it seems like people can't order it in the United States without a prescription.
Yeah, I forget the website where I got mine, but it was...
yeah, we can try to find it.
I'll find the link for it.
And of course, another option is always to ask your vet to order it for you and reimburse them for it. You know, and you might not even need to come in for a vet visit. It depends how friendly and willing your vet is, but, you know... But one of those two options is good.
Let me see what the website is. It's petsuppliesnet.com.
Okay.
Is where I ordered it from.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's where I get mine.
Yep.
And with some local animal news you wanted to talk about.
Oh, right? Yes. You know, in the spring and summer, I was given updates a lot on the DC Eagle Cam and like how there's the Eagle Watchers Facebook group where they take the screenshots from the cameras and stuff like that. Well, the eagles apparently... I don't know if they migrate exactly, but they go out of town for the summer and the early fall.
Summer vacation.
Kind of like a late summer, early fall vacation. Yeah, it's like they take a vacation for a couple months after the babies have fledged. But they just came back to their nest, and apparently this is a normal thing. They're mated for life, and so they come back to the same nest every year, and they're getting ready to lay some more eggs.
Wow, so they're laying eggs now that they're going to have in the fall? Or?
Well, I don't know if they're actually going to lay the eggs yet, but they just came back, and they're setting their nest back up. Like, the nest is still there, but they're kind of, like, inspecting
it. So these are the same ones that just had their babies?
Yeah, and their names are the First Lady and Mr. President, I think, is what these two are named. Because they're the DC Eagles, so that's their little patriotic names. Yeah, so the people on the Facebook group are getting very excited because, you know, soon the... Because remember last year, we had maybe just started doing the podcast, but there had been like a snowstorm and the parents were protecting the eggs even in the snow. Do you remember that? We had posted some of the links
from that. Yeah, no, I remember us talking about that,
So I don't know exactly when they lay the eggs and how long they sit on them, but...
I think we've talked about these eagles almost every episode.
Well, we have. We haven't recently, though, because they've been out of town.
Yeah.
They've been on vacation.
But no, we have been a good source for eagle news.
That's right. Well, you know, there's not a baby panda bear. Oh, another local animal news. Sadly, the National Zoo's panda is not pregnant this cycle. Her hormones spiked, but it was like a false pregnancy. So unfortunately, we're not going to have a little panda baby this year.
Does that happen often? Because I know
it can be very hard for pandas to get pregnant. In fact, I think they've usually had to artificially inseminate her each time.
Oh, did they not? Yeah.
They did it again. Oh, yeah. They tried to do it again. And she even had, like I said, she had the hormone spike. So what happens with female pandas is they have a hormone spike, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're pregnant. It means they're either having a false pregnancy or they're really pregnant. So it turned out to be like a false pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. But that means, unfortunately, she's not going to be ready to have another baby again until next year because of just the way.
Because of how long it takes for them to.
Well, I guess she's just not in heat very often. Like, right. I guess her body is just not ready to have them except like once a year.
Yeah. Well, I think that was part of the problem.
That's why they're endangered. Yeah.
Because they have that short period each year. Yeah. Right, I bet their metabolism is really slow.
Like. Oh, it is, actually. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, actually, that they can't get pregnant that often. Yeah. But so anyway, she's had 3 babies, though, I think. So she's been quite a hero for her species.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so,
That's not bad.
Yeah, so. And her most recent baby is still there. He's going to go to China in a couple years, but he's still like a toddler, I guess. So he's still there. Yeah.
So... we'll move on to some nerdy topics.
Let's move on to nerdy
topics. So I sent you this preview for a untitled duck game.
It looks amazing.
It's
no wait, it's not a duck, it's a goose.
Oh, it's a goose.
It's a goose. Yeah. Very important distinction.
Yeah, so IGN posted this article and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But it's called "This May Be the World's First Tactical Stealth Goose Game," and it's adorable. And it is.
It is adorable.
It is fantastic. If you watch the video, the little goose is like basically, like, you got to get the groundskeeper to open the gate for you. So, uh-huh. like, you go turn the water on, and he, like, runs out to turn the water off. And then you got to, like, it gives you all these, like, objectives, like, steal, like, get the gardener to change his hat. So you gotta steal his hat and then go hide Aww. It somewhere. And then he goes and puts on a different hat.
That sounds like really cute.
Steal his keys. Mm-hmm. It looks awesome. I'm excited like for fun. This game. Yeah, it's like a legit stealth game too, but you're a goose.
That sounds great. And, now, it doesn't have a release date yet, right? It's coming out sometime in 2018.
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be 2018.
Yeah, but that's only a couple months from now. It's 2018. Hard to believe.
Just from what was in the video, if they just released it like that uh-huh. and charged $5, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hopefully it'll be good when it comes out.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I would definitely play that one too. That looks like definitely my type of game.
Yeah. And speaking of games, I created a Steam group for us. I created a Steam account for the Nerdy Rat.
Uh-huh.
So I'll have to see if I can link our profile. But
yeah. Now, tell me what that means, because I'm on Steam. That's where we get. Wait, for those who don't know, Steam is where you can download and store.
I hope they all know what Steam is.
But come on, a few people might not. So Steam is where you can download and play
your computer
games.
It's like iTunes for video
games. Exactly. But it's for computer games. So it's ones that you play on your desktop.
Yeah, it's all PC games.
Yeah, PC. That's the word for it. PC games, friends. Yeah. I think it's not your app games.
They have Mac
Do they?
All right. Games and Linux games too.
Well, then you should have just let me say computer. So yeah. Computer games, friends. Yeah.
So I created an account for the Nerdy Rat, mm-hmm. and I created a group for us that people can join.
Oh,
and you know, we can like do reviews of games and stuff like that. And I'm not exactly sure how the curator system works. I got to look into that a little bit more. But I know like curator is like you can like review and recommend games. And
oh,
stuff,
and we're always doing that on our podcast.
But I mean, we're like I know we're not that big. So, but I started the Nerdy Rat Steam group, so feel free to
there
join it. So it should be open to everybody.
That's right. And by the way, if you're more into Pinterest, we also put game recommendations on our Pinterest page.
You're in charge of that because
I am in charge
as
of
a man,
that, yes.
I don't... Please.
Pinterest is... You know I'm not going to let that pass. It is not just for women. That is the most gendered, sexist statement.
I'm just saying a lot of women like Pinterest
that
more than...
That doesn't mean it's just for women, and you shouldn't say, as a man, I'm too cool for Pinterest.
I'm just saying. Well, I don't get Pinterest, so...
But that doesn't mean it's because you're a man. It just means it's not your thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, so join our Steam group and follow Liz's Pinterest page. So the SNES Mini got released.
Yes.
And I got one.
Yay!
I stayed up a little late for me. I usually go to bed at like 3, but I stayed up till like almost 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I got this email the night before it was coming out that ThinkGeek was going to get some in stock.
Yeah.
So I basically just stalked their webpage and stalked their Twitter. Uh-huh. And as soon as they posted the link, I used the Google autofill thing to place an order. And
awesome.
Like a week later, I got one.
Yay!
So you played it some. What did you think of it? You didn't really know anything about it before it came out.
Well, I mean, it's not like I didn't know anything about it. I had an SNES when I was a kid.
What did you think of like the game selection?
I thought the game selection was pretty good. I liked that there was a lot of RPGs on there, which I would play. I thought there was a good variety of games.
There was a really
like,
good variety.
Like, they had Mario Kart, of course, and Super Mario World. But and they had some unusual RPGs. And then they had like some good fighting games that I know you like and stuff like that.
They didn't have any filler, really. I didn't feel like any of the games like didn't
I agree
belong.
With that. I agree with that.
You know,
like there
I
were basically
there
no
was,
crappy games.
There's a couple games that I wish were on it, like Chrono Trigger.
Oh, I remember my brother used to really like that one.
So, and I'm sure there's a few others that I would like to see, but
yeah,
I'm really happy with all the games that are on it, and it's really nice too. Like you get 3 save states per game, and you can just hit the reset and like.
Save
right there.
Yeah,
I
thought that was really nice.
Yeah, it's got a nice little menu, and it's got Star Fox 2, which we unlocked, but I didn't get a chance really to play it. But
And it's got all the manuals loaded right onto the console, so if you want to look at a manual, not that you really need
very
to,
cool,
but if you
very
want
nice
to.
Package.
Yeah, and now what I didn't realize is that, okay, I know they've been calling it the Mini and all this crap. I didn't realize it was actually like a miniaturized console. Oh, yeah. Like I thought it was going to be the same. Oh, I hit my mic. I thought it was going to be the same size, and like maybe they were just calling it a Mini because I didn't know why. So, but I thought it was so cute. It's like adorable. It's just like a little tiny.
And it even comes in like a little mini box compared to looks like a mini.
But the controllers are full size, so that's
The controllers are really nice.
They're the original controllers.
They're new, but like I can't tell the difference between them and the originals.
Exactly. Like it's the exact same design. So that's really nice.
Yeah, and it comes with two controllers, which is nice. Yes, and perfect. The cords are much longer than the NES. I know the big complaint with the NES Mini was the cords for them were only like a foot or 2 feet long.
Oh, that's so stupid. Yeah, these were decently length.
Yeah, they're not as long as the originals, but...
But they're
much
good.
Longer than the NES. They're good length. So,
yes.
But I think they did a much better job with the release on this. I was looking at sales on like Amazon for like the scalpers. They're only charging like $120 now for them. Oh. So
now is that because they're still available or they're not really available though?
Well, right now they're like sold out. But
there
were so many available that most people got them that wanted them.
That's good.
And so they're kind of basically lowering the price. The scalpers have to lower the price to try and get them to sell because people aren't buying them.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope a lot of scalpers like lose money on these things because
that was not right.
You see these posts on like eBay where they got a picture of like 20 of them. It's like even if I wanted one, I wouldn't buy one from you just because you posted a picture of having so many.
Exactly.
Like it's just ridiculous.
Like don't be an a-hole.
Like
come on.
Yeah, like you're basically ruining the like
I know.
Just screwing up the market because it makes it harder for Nintendo to actually figure out how many they need to make when you've got these scalpers buying them all up and hoarding them.
Yeah.
So you've got like you've actually got more than the demand, but you've got a bunch being held onto by scalpers.
Yeah.
Who are, you know.
Yeah.
So and Nintendo's very like they want to make as many as they're going to sell. They don't want to have
Nintendo's ridiculous.
They're ridiculous, but it's like understandable because
not for the NES though it wasn't.
Yeah, but I understand where they're coming from a little bit better now because like when you look at it it's like they don't want to flood the market with them to where they're just sitting on shelves and they can't get rid of them. You know,
and that's true, but I think they definitely missed
on the NES. They definitely need to make more.
What bothers me with the NES is that they did that knowing that it was still in super high demand. So it wasn't like, they weren't sure how it was selling and they just decided to discontinue it.
Thankfully, the NES Mini is going to be coming out with more of them, but I hope.
I hope they actually make
an announcement so we can know when to go get one. Because, like, it basically walking into a store and seeing one and going, oh, yeah, I wanted that, and picking it up is, like, just not going to happen right now.
Right.
With the way the scalpers just buy them all up.
ThinkGeek is pretty good. So I think if you keep an eye on ThinkGeek, I'm signed up
for their email alerts. Yeah. So hopefully they'll email me when that happens. That's the reason I knew to order it from ThinkGeek this time was the email said, hey, we're going to have these at midnight Pacific. So I was like, okay, cool. Right. Let's do this.
Right. Yeah, but well, it's good.
I'm feeling much better about Nintendo now that I was actually able to get my hands on this.
If you hadn't been able to get your hands on it, you still would have hated Nintendo.
Well, that was my only problem with the NES was I couldn't get one.
I know.
And I wasn't going to pay scalper prices and I wasn't going to kill myself trying to get one, you know, but I wanted one.
I know. I agree.
But I feel like this launch went much better.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo definitely delivered and made enough available because all the stories I heard, people that showed on launch day and got in line and waited, they all got one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So I haven't really heard a story of anyone like going home without one
who tried hard to get one there
in the morning to pick one up. Yeah, basically,
that's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, speaking of issues with games, so I talked last episode about my app game Homescapes, which is a match 3 game, and it's like you redecorate this butler's mansion.
Candy Crush, but you have a house.
But yeah, and you redecorate the mansion as you go. But you also have a little storyline with Austin and his parents and all that. Well, my issues are that this Homescapes game needs some tweaking because there are some levels that are not set up to be beatable at all. And I mean, I don't have a problem with hard levels like Gardenscapes, which is the companion game, has plenty of very difficult levels. But my issue is that if they set the level up in such a way, like, so this one level I'm stuck on, you have to carpet the entire level by making matches that spreads the carpet, and then you have to get rid of the soap suds. It's level 95, by the way, for those who are going to get there, who are there. But the problem is they don't, they have all these locked pieces and they don't set it up to give you any good moves to start with. So it's completely random whether or not you're even able to get to the carpet within your limited number of moves that you have.
Yeah.
Whereas like in Gardenscapes for the hard levels, they at least set them up so you have like one good move to start with before it gets random. It's like they pre-programmed in a starting move. But in Homescapes, they don't seem to have done that. And there was an earlier level, too, where the same problem. They didn't pre-program in a good starting move. And without that, it's sometimes it's just like that other level I was going crazy on because I'm not going to spend my money. I'm not going to spend money on coins to beat it, you know. With
don't
the,
spend money.
I'm not. And I'm, yes, listeners, don't spend money. But,
well, you can spend money.
Right. Don't just thoughtfully, not just impulsively.
Please don't spend $1,000 on a Candy
Crush
clone.
Exactly.
Please.
Exactly. I'm not. But like, so yeah, so that's my issue. And now this is only the first version. So like in Gardenscapes, they have like a daily power up that you get, and they have like all these extra little competitions and stuff where you can earn power ups and stuff like that. And they don't have any of that yet in Homescapes. And I know they're planning to develop it and add it in, but they don't have it yet. So that also makes it.
Is it an early access mobile game?
I don't think it's early access.
Okay.
But it's definitely, I think it definitely could have used a little bit more testing before they released it. Because when you don't even have like the free power-ups, levels like this, it's just like insane. You know, I literally had to play through the other level probably like 60 to 70 times just waiting for like a good combination of opening pieces, you know? And so I feel like I'm stuck in the same way with this level.
Okay.
So. But anyway, that's my issue with Homescapes. Mm-hmm. But hopefully good developments are coming. So we'll see.
So we saw
Blade Runner. What's it's Blade Runner like 20 something, right?
2049.
Something like that. Yeah, the new Blade Runner, let's say. All right. Let me tell you all my disappointment with this movie.
We're gonna get into spoilers right away.
Yes.
So.
The first hour and a half I was loving it. I thought this is a great movie. I loved what Ryan Gosling was doing with it. I loved the atmosphere of the movie. I loved the storylines that they were setting up and kind of like the mystery that they were developing and how it was playing out. And then like at the hour and a half mark, and it was a 3-hour movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes.
It seems like they threw out all of the beginning plot, all of the beginning setup, and they just wrapped it up in a totally crap way that didn't resolve anything.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating.
Our cat's being difficult. I agree with you.
Yeah.
For the most part. I think this movie falls apart narratively.
Mm-hmm.
And which, after we went to go see it, I was like, I don't know. Like, I really dug it at the beginning of it. But by the end of it, I was just like, man, none of this makes any sense. And I don't think it was that I didn't get it. I think it just wasn't written very well because there was there was a lot of questions that I had. So
they totally trashed the story.
Rotten Tomatoes. So like Rotten Tomatoes summary of this movie, I do not agree with. It says, critics consensus, visually stunning and narratively satisfying. I would not say it's narratively satisfying.
I would not say so at all.
Because I just didn't feel that. Maybe I need to watch it again. Maybe we were missing something. But
No. Give us more credit than that. Come on.
My main problems with the story were like, the whole basis of the movie, if you haven't seen it. Major spoiler. So one of the big points of this movie is that
Ryan Gosling?
No. Harrison Ford's character's name? Deckard.
Deckard.
So Deckard and Rachel basically have a kid.
Yeah.
Sometime after the first Blade Runner, right? And they're not supposed to be able to have children.
Replicants aren't supposed to be able to have children at all.
So at the beginning, you've got the cops. Ryan Gosling works for the cops, and he's a
replicant.
He's a replicant. And
And he's like a new gen replicant. And, they're not supposed to disobey or rebel. And he's a Blade Runner, which means he hunts down and kills replicants.
So he...
Rogue replicants.
Yeah, so...
Old school replicants.
So he is... God, I forgot what I was going to say now.
So at the beginning of the movie, he's killing a replicant that went rogue.
So basically, he kills a replicant, and they discover the body of Rachel on this replicant's body. And they discover that somehow... through forensics discovered that she gave birth and died in childbirth, mm-hmm. and that she was replicant, and that's supposed to be impossible for replicants to have children.
Right.
So and the cops are like the lady,
Robin Wright,
the one who's like the police chief is like, you need to find this kid and kill it, because if people find out about this, it'll be mass hysteria. I think she said this breaks the world. And it's like, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Right. But then we get into the whole storyline with Jared Leto's character, and he's like the guy that created the new line of replicants,
mm-hmm.
that are currently in production, and he seems to want to be able to find this replicant child, so he can make more replicants through having them
through
have
natural babies. Like, childbirth?
See, he never really says what he plans on doing. But it's like, you kind of get the idea from it, from what he's saying, is that he wants to be able to make more by letting them have kids somehow, or designing ones that would have kids. And I was like,
yeah, like he was making out like he had a production shortage, and somehow
but
this
he
would
never
solve his production
he's
shortage.
He's like, I can only make so many, but he never explains what he means by that.
Well, it kind of to me seemed like he meant that there was like a material shortage, or just that he couldn't make enough to populate 9 billion words in the galaxy.
Well, I could kind of understand that, but why is he then like inspecting new replicants and then killing
them?
Like, if you're just going to kill them, like, oh, I need to look at this and hold it and then kill it immediately. It just came off as like, I just didn't get what his motivation was. It's like, okay,
well,
if you want replicants to just have babies, like... Just get a couple of people, have them have babies, and say they're replicants, and then you got slave population like that. Like, I just didn't understand why he was so invested in Harrison Ford's character, and why he wanted to get him so bad, and why he want like his involvement in the story didn't make sense. And then you had this other faction showing up of replicants that were like, oh, we want to rebel for some reason.
Oh, they threw that in at the very end. They're like, oh, yeah, we're getting ready to start a war. I'm like, oh, setting up a
sequel. And
it's
like,
much?
How many?
They had nothing to do with anything going on in the movie the whole way through.
Yeah, and it's just like, how do you have such a large population of replicants that don't have a time to expire? Because in the first movie, I kind of got that replicants all had an expiration date on them. And that's like, was the whole motivation of the original Nexus 6 replicants in the original movie, was that they were going to die and they wanted to find a way to extend their life.
Oh, now, see, we didn't rewatch the original yet, so
I don't
remember.
I've seen
original.
It not that long ago, but the whole...
Yeah, well, I don't remember that.
The whole
so.
Course of the movie is like the replicants' main rampage mm-hmm. is because they're trying to get a scientist to extend their life because they have a built-in expiration date where they're going to die after so many years. Like, they only live like three mm-hmm. or 4 years and then die, and that was how they controlled them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now you're basically saying... Okay, now we have a bunch of old replicants before the new replicants that are out there being rogue.
Okay, that doesn't make no sense. Yeah, that makes no sense.
Just so many parts of this.
But I really like the beginning of the movie. Like, Ryan Gosling's character had like a AI and artificial intelligence wife, and it was like they were setting up so many good storylines.
It really had
a
vibe like the movie Her.
Yeah, and they set up really good dynamics with him and Robin Wright, who was the police chief, and kind of like her control of him, and yet her affection for him at the same time, and kind of interesting with him too, like how he feels kind of sad about what he's doing, but he doesn't really have a choice.
If they had left Jared Leto's character out and like not done something different with it, like, because the ending was not satisfying at all, because you were kind of like, are they just setting up a sequel with this? Because I don't know.
Well,
what
I just
the point
feel like my problem
is.
Was I felt like they abandoned all of the really interpersonal and like reflective storylines that they had set up in the first half.
For
and it
like
was
a
like,
nonsense
they didn't
action
even exist.
Sequence.
Yeah, it was like a totally different movie for the second half of the movie. And it just dragged on, and it just was so frustrating because it was like you were watching a completely different movie. And they had just abandoned this beautiful movie that they set up for the first hour and a half. It was just very disappointing like that.
Yeah. And I had a lot of questions. Like, how do they have bees with no flowers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just nonsense.
Were they android
bees? It was just nonsense. I mean, the second half of the movie was, it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Did you ever read the original Philip K. Dick book?
No, I didn't.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? It's actually really good. It gives some kind of background. I haven't read it, but I read like a synopsis of it. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's like, explains how like it's the future and radiation has killed basically all animals.
Oh, okay.
So like animals are very valuable.
Oh, okay.
And so they kind of touch on that in this movie where he's like, oh, you've got real wood. This is worth a lot of money. I'll give you a bunch of stuff for it.
Yeah, because like you could tell the planet had been decimated.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing that bothered me, because now I haven't seen the original movie recently, so I don't remember it that well, but one thing I certainly remember is that Harrison Ford did not have a tenderly romantic storyline with Rachel. He was actually abusive to her.
At no point in the movie, in the original movie, do I remember ever thinking that they had like a romantic connection. But in this movie, they're like, it was love at first sight.
I know they made up like he was like the love of her life and he made her so, and she made him so happy and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
I never got that.
What I remember is him beating her up before he has sex with her. That's what I remember. And I'm like, that was not, no, I'm sorry. No, he was a real a-hole in the first movie.
Yeah.
So they just totally nonsense. It didn't make any sense, this movie.
Yeah, I just don't think the writing was very strong.
And I wish they would have wrapped that up. I feel like there really needs to be like some beautiful fan fiction to resolve the first half of the movie.
I feel like
I feel like that would be satisfying to have somebody write like a really nice ending to that.
You could take most of the movie and just cut out and make a new ending for it, and you'd have a great movie.
Exactly. Like if you just seriously wrapped up, and you wouldn't even need that much to wrap it up because they had really. They were building towards some kind of climax and revolution.
And the movie itself was shot wonderfully.
It was gorgeous.
It had great atmosphere. It reminded me of Drive a lot. Like, do you ever see that movie? Mm-hmm. It's another Ryan Gosling film.
Oh, okay.
But it was like a really slow-paced kind of film like this.
The beginning, I loved everything about the beginning. Yeah, and then I think...
They spent all this time developing the relationship between him and
his wife?
His android.
Yeah, his android wife. Or his AI wife, or whatever.
And then they just crush her.
I know.
And that's it.
I know. And then they kill Robin Wright, too. Robin Wright was one of the best characters in the movie. And then they just, for no reason, kill her, too.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. Very, very, very annoying.
I think it was so annoying because I feel like there was a really good movie there.
That's the problem. Like, if the first half hadn't been so good, I wouldn't be so
frustrated.
And it
was just botched with poor writing decisions.
Yeah. I almost felt like a different director. I do want to see it again because
I feel like all these critics saying it's narratively satisfying. Like, what? Did we watch the same movie? Like,
Was I not paying attention?
No, that I don't understand?
They're just full of themselves. And they probably. I don't need to get into all that negativity, but they're not. I don't know.
No. Just the more I thought about it, the more confused I became.
I don't think you should doubt our opinion of it. I think the problem was, you know, I don't know. Sometimes people are satisfied by shallow action rather than.
Well, I think critics have a tendency to. Like, I think most people make up their mind if they're going to like something pretty quickly. Yeah. But I think critics kind of fall into this, like, if a movie's shot really well and it's paced really well and it's, like, does a lot of things right, that they'll kind of, like...
And, like, it definitely
more easily
had,
look over a lot of deep flaws
in the
movie.
And it definitely had a conclusive ending. It was just the ending didn't match the first half of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just like, the movie did have an ending, but it didn't make any sense.
Several points
in
that movie where I think I physically groaned.
I know. I was just like,
When you find out who the actual hybrid is, or whatever.
That doesn't make any sense, even based on stuff that you first told us. Because, like, that girl had memories of having parents and having been put in her little cell and all of that stuff. She wasn't supposed to be the orphan girl.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, she had parents, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, just so much wrong with it. So much wrong. So let's move on to something else.
All right.
You were going to talk about some Szechuan sauce?
Oh.
Is that from last time or is that this time?
No, this is this time. So have I told you, have we talked about this at all?
I saw that
the
McDonald's
Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce.
I didn't know it was Rick and Morty. I knew McDonald's was bringing back
Szechuan
sauce
for
one day.
Let me give you the brief history of this.
All right.
So season 3, episode 1 of Rick and Morty, there's an off joke about how Rick goes back in time in his memory, and he goes to McDonald's and gets the Szechuan sauce. Because back in 1998, McDonald's had a promo for Mulan, the movie, where they had a Szechuan sauce, dipping sauce for their Chicken McNuggets. And it was only available for a short period of time.
Okay.
And the character Rick apparently loved it.
All right.
And,
yeah, because so I saw they were doing it again.
After that episode. So apparently the fans of Rick and Morty are just terrible people and the most annoying people on the face of the planet. And a lot of people have been, like, you know, doing videos and talking about how terrible the fans are. And I thought that was kind of, like, just overblown. But so McDonald's initially, they were kind of cool. They sent, like, Dan Harmon or the Justin Harmon. I forget the guy's name. Anyways.
I don't know.
The creator of Rick and Morty.
Okay.
They sent him a bottle of this Szechuan sauce.
Recently, you mean?
Yeah. And they were like, hey, you know, we're glad you really liked sauce here. So, and then they gave away a bottle of it, like a big bottle of it for free. And so I guess like last week or something, they said, oh, hey, we're going to have a promotion. We're going to have very limited quantities of the sauce in a couple of McDonald's locations. And people drove from hours away to come wait in giant lines for Szechuan sauce. And then, of course, they only had, like, apparently, like, 20 packets or something of this sauce.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And they ran out, and people just threw a fit.
Uh-huh.
And there's, like, videos of people freaking out on the internet.
Okay.
At this McDonald's over this, this sauce.
Well, I guess if you drove, like, six hours.
Yeah. And
kind of like the NES Mini.
But, I mean, the thing that drives me crazy about this whole situation is, like, these people, why? Like, you don't even like the sauce. You just... Justin Roiland is the name of the guy who created it. I'm sorry. So apparently Justin Roiland actually did have the sauce, and he said he liked it. But, I mean, these people have never had this sauce. They just saw something on TV and were like, oh, I gotta have it. It's like, why?
I don't know.
Why do you want that? Like, at least, like, with SNES, you're waiting in line, like... You know, you were actually, you probably, like, I played the games when I was a kid, you know?
But I'm sure some people are just trying to get one just to get one. And some people are getting it to be scalpers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for the NES, and it's probably the same for the Szechuan sauce. Some people are just fans of the show and they want to do, like, a fan thing, you know? They just wanted to have some fun.
Yeah, but apparently they were pretty mad at McDonald's and they're like, look, they told you it was very limited quantities. Like, what did you expect to happen? Like,
now, see, that's funny because I didn't hear anything about the limited quantities. What I heard is that they were bringing it back just for one day only.
Yeah, well, so they did bring it back for one day, but they also said they were going to have very limited
quantities. Well, maybe people didn't hear that because all the headlines that I was reading. See, this is why you have to be careful to read, like, the source material. I say this as a researcher and not just as, like, if you just go by headlines, you're going to be misled because all the headlines I saw on Facebook and everything else were like, oh, the Szechuan sauce is coming back for just one day. So maybe people thought it was just going to be there and there would be enough. Like, they might not have even realized it was limited quantities.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean they're bad people. Having a fit. But I understand.
If you watch some of these videos of these riots.
Well, having a fit is not
McDonald's.
Cool. Yeah, that's not cool.
I saw a video of one fan that literally jumped, like, when they told me he didn't have it, he jumped up on the counter and started screaming.
Okay, now see, that's where you need to call the police because that's not appropriate ever.
But that's Rick and Morty fans. Like, that's
all the fans? I mean, I don't
I'm not
know.
Saying all the fans. I'm saying,
but I'm just saying
there's
like,
a portion of the fan. I mean, I'm a fan of Rick and Morty, but like there are these people that are fans of the show that ruin it. Like, they make me ashamed to even like the show, you know what I mean?
Not like really, because I'm not into this culture. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, as somebody who likes Rick and Morty, like, all the fans need to stop. Just stop.
Okay.
Don't be this way. There was another story, like, there's some, like, truck going around that's, like, selling promotional stuff to Rick and Morty, and, like, when they went to Tampa, they had to get shut down by the police because there was, like, lines all the way down the street of people, like, waiting to get this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So people really like that show, I guess.
They're like insane for it.
Why?
It's like, I don't know.
Is
like,
it a current show? Like, is it still on TV?
Yeah. I mean, it's a current show. It's in its third season right now.
So the, like, it's so the episode about the Szechuan sauce was a current episode.
It was like the beginning of this year, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the show. I just like.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You just
fans
don't understand
so crazy.
Why people love it so much. Like why they're so.
I mean, I understand why
it.
They like the show, but I mean, like this whole Szechuan sauce thing is like so dumb.
Well, like, but you know what? See, I think that's a problem with like people who drive like 6 hours. Like if you drove like 6 hours and you were waiting in line and all this crap, like yeah, you are gonna blow your top if you don't get what you wanted, and that's not right. Yeah, but I mean, that means you shouldn't.
That
be so
person
obsessed.
Needs to be managing
yeah,
their life
exactly,
expectations.
Exactly.
Better.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean. Like you need to calm down. Like. You need to have realistic expectations, and maybe you should value more things in life than Szechuan sauce.
So, so before I talk about Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars. Why are we talking about Star Wars?
Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, yeah. The loot box. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about the teal pumpkin thing for Halloween?
Oh, yeah. So since Halloween is coming up.
So what is Teal Pumpkin Project?
Yes. Well, the Teal Pumpkin Project, Halloween is coming up. My friend has a couple kids who have really severe food allergies. And it's not just to one thing. It's like to several things. And it's the anaphylaxis where they could die. So there just a couple years ago, these people who had kids with food allergies started the Teal Pumpkin Project, where you can hand out non-food treats for Halloween so that kids with allergies can have something to enjoy too. Because the thing is, there's so many kids these days with severe allergies, and it's not like they can just avoid the one ingredient. Like some of them are allergic to the soy. Some of them are so allergic to the nuts that even if the candy is processed in a facility that processes nuts, they can't have it. So it's just a nice thing. So I thought this year to be supportive, I would get some extra non-candy stuff that we could hand out just for the
you
kids
got
with
like,
allergies.
What'd you get? You got like Play-Doh?
No, not Play-Doh. I got glow bracelets, like glow one bracelets, and I got some spider rings. Okay. And so it's nice that it's starting to take off because you can buy like a pre-made teal pumpkin, like a fake one at Michael's or Target or AC Moore. And I just got like from the dollar bin at Target, I got a teal bucket and I just drew the pumpkin on it and said, ask for allergy-free treats. And then they had at Target, they had like a ton of, they called it party favors, but it was like huge packs of like the spider rings, and they had pencils and erasers and, you know, all kinds of little toys and stuff for really cheap. Like I got most of those packs for like a dollar each. So
that's cool.
So I thought just to be supportive, and because, you know, it's hard on kids who can't go trick or treating if they really literally can't eat anything. That's rough to be a little kid and not be able to do that.
Halloween was my favorite holiday as a kid.
I know.
I would just eat massive amounts of candy for days and days after.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that's rough to not be able to participate in such a huge childhood holiday. So anyway, like we're still going to hand out candy because like for us, like we're going to because we don't have allergies.
I hope we did. Did we budget for candy this year?
We have to go to Costco though. Yeah.
We spent like $200 last year on candy.
Did we spend that much? No, we didn't.
We bought $100 before.
No, last year we covered it all at Costco. We pre-bought enough at Costco.
Did
so that we? Yeah. Last year we didn't have to make any extra runs.
Okay.
We had.
I know
we
spent
leftovers.
At least $100 at Costco on candy.
All right. Well, maybe
it was probably more
know.
Than that.
I don't know. But anyway, we're going to hand
busy
out candy
on Halloween.
Yeah, we live in a neighborhood with a lot of kids, so you know you could consider doing the Teal Pumpkin Project yourself. And like I said, you don't have to stop handing out candy. You could just tell them to ask if they have allergies and just have a couple things on hand.
Yeah.
And not give it to everybody. Because, you know, if you offer it to everybody, everybody's going to want the glow bracelets and the spider rings, too. But, like, and the candy. So I'm like, no, just ask if you have allergies.
Yep.
But anyway.
So
now Matt needs to rant a little bit. So tell me what's going on with this.
Babe. All right. So Star Wars Battlefront 2, this is a game I was really looking forward to. Because the first Battlefront had a lot of issues. And it was not a good game.
Oh, I think you talked
in
another episode that you were looking forward to this.
I know.
So tell me what's happening. I got to pick Kitten up, but you talk.
Yeah, and so they fixed a lot of the issues with the game, but they recently had the beta for their new game.
Mm-hmm.
And while it looks really fun, they have a terrible loot box system set up in place. So basically, so it has loot boxes, and normally in most games, especially like full $60 games, loot boxes are usually cosmetic only.
Overwatch, like skins and things like that.
Overwatch has a system like this. I've never had a problem with it. Like, you get boxes randomly as you level up, and but you can pay to unlock more boxes.
Okay.
Which I'm not a fan of, but it's fine. You know, if you want to give the company more money, that's fine, but it's, like, not required.
Right.
But the problem with Star Wars Battlefront is all of the upgrades that you get in-game come out of these loot boxes. So, like, upgrades for your special soldiers, combat upgrades, basically, it's pay to win.
Oh, and it's only pay to win?
Well, it's not only pay to win, but how you get more powerful in the game, mm-hmm. which I don't like first-person shooters where you have to level up anyways, mm-hmm. but the way you get more powerful is you get these loot boxes as you level up, mm-hmm. and then when you open them, they can have different cards, which will give you different bonuses and make your heroes more powerful and all this stuff. But the only way to get those upgrades is through a random... random box that you open that explodes right. and you get loot and you're like,
so you just have to hope you get lucky.
So yeah, and here's the thing, you might get really lucky and get the really good upgrades first,
right?
Or you may be really unlucky and mm-hmm. not get them ever,
right?
Literally, because it's all RNG, obviously.
Right.
Now I'm not sure if I didn't look into this far enough, but I don't know if you can get duplicates or not.
Okay.
I would imagine you won't get duplicates, but basically what it is, like, somebody could spend like $100-$200 on the day the game comes out, mm-hmm. unlock everything, have the most powerful abilities, and just mm-hmm. crush everybody on day one. It's literally pay to win.
Oh, because it's a game where you play against other people?
Yeah. A big portion of this game. Oh, the first one was actually multiplayer only.
Okay.
But, I mean, not just the fact that you can buy these loot boxes, but the fact that this upgrade system is basically gambling. Because you're opening a thing that you don't know what you're going to get, mm-hmm. and it's just random luck if you get something good or not. Mm-hmm. It's literally gambling. It's like, I don't want to play a game that involves gambling. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather have a system where you buy your upgrades or you pick which one you want. It's like there's actually some strategy to that. And it's like, mm-hmm. what do I want to upgrade first? Where do I want to go? It's right. like, nope, just open a box and you get all this.
Get.
And this kind of loot box system.
We used to say in elementary school, you get what you get and don't get upset.
Yeah. Well, this kind of loot box system ruined Fortnite, in my opinion, because mm-hmm. Fortnite had a ridiculous, the same kind of system where you open this loot box and you get random stuff and those are your upgrades. So there's like no, you just got to hope you get lucky and get the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of people have been talking about this and they're saying like, I'm not going to get this game if this system doesn't change. If this is the system when the game comes out, I'm not going to buy it. And that's why I didn't pre-order this game.
Yeah, that
I was
makes
afraid
sense.
EA was going to pull something like this.
Right.
You know, it's like they talk about all the stuff that they're going to fix from the first game. It's like, that's great. But we put in a terrible loot box system that's going to ruin the game experience for you. And it really does ruin the game experience.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, that just sounds like it would. So that sounds good that you're just going to hold off on getting it. But I know that's frustrating when you were hoping to it be a good game.
Other than that, the game looks great.
Yeah.
It really does look like a good game. But, like, I just don't think I can deal with that kind of system.
Now, is it only multiplayer? Like, there's no...
No, it does have a single player, which is nice, because the first one didn't have a single player. Uh-huh. That's one of the things that they fixed about it.
Okay. But you'd still be linked into the same system, though, for single player?
I'm not exactly sure, because nobody's talked about the single player, because I think the beta was only the multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
Because they had, like, a three or four-day beta, and that's when people started talking about this loot box system. Like, mm-hmm. this is garbage. It just needs to go.
Yeah.
And this is becoming a trend among games now, is this kind of gambling system that you put in the games. It's like, no, don't put this in your games, developers. Don't do it.
Yeah.
So that's my... I'm just so...
That's
disappointing. I knew they were going to mess this game up somehow. I was just waiting.
Yeah, well, if the first one was that poorly done,
it's Electronic Arts. They are notoriously bad for being anti-consumer.
What else did they make? What did they used to make back in the day? Because I remember playing some EA games back in the day.
They've done a lot of Star Wars games. They've done a lot of different games. And
I'll have to go through my library.
They make good games, but they're... practices as a publisher are terrible.
Okay.
And that's why like people have gave it, like rated them like the worst company a couple years in a row.
Oh, that's interesting. Know?
And it's for stuff like this, like,
you know what? Seriously, before we do the next podcast, I'm going to have to go online and like scroll through like what older games they've made, because I know I used to play some EA games and now I'm curious.
I think they probably were under LucasArts and did a lot of the adventure games and stuff too. So
yeah, I'm thinking like way back in the 90s, but
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, my younger brother had like some of the LucasArts games, and like, I used to play like, there was that one where you would like fly your ships around and go on missions and
that's
stuff.
Like every other Star Wars game. Like I don't.
Did I just describe every Star Wars game ever
just
made?
Just about.
But it was the first game of that kind. It was the first game ever like that, and it was a PC game.
Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, it was probably Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
But was it a computer game? And it was like the first one ever, and that was like in the 90s.
Did it have full motion video?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably Rogue Squadron.
It's probably Rogue Squadron. All right. That one I was semi all right at, but I've never been very good at like reading maps in video games. And like, I couldn't, I don't know. I just got stuck on a certain mission and then I stopped playing him. But yeah, that was the only game I tried even a little bit to play. I'm not very good at like
the flying
games.
Rogue Squadron was the, that was the Nintendo game.
Oh, that was Nintendo? No, there was one for PC.
Yeah, I know what, yeah. I just can't think of the name.
TIE Fighter? Was it like X-Wing
Fighter?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or TIE Fighter?
Well, there was TIE Fighter and there was X-Wing Fighter.
Okay. It was one of those that I played.
Yeah. They were like, one was the sequel.
Okay.
Yeah, TIE Fighter was the one. Probably, that was the full motion movie.
Was that the first one?
It was LucasArts, yeah.
Was that the first one? But I feel like there was some other EA game stuff I played too, so I'm going to have to.
Yeah, I don't know if that was published by Electronic Arts or not. Maybe not. Anyways.
But anyway.
Yeah, so.
So is that about our show?
Well, one last thing. I want to thank my brother, Steve. Thank you for donating to Extra Life.
Yes, thanks, Steve.
We're
going to
be
Bethany.
Playing. We're going to. Steve and Bethany, yep.
And what game did they request? I know, but tell the listeners.
So we're going to be playing StarCraft 2 for 50 minutes.
Nice.
During the marathon.
Nice.
Steve, you're welcome to join me for that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. You guys could stream it together.
Yeah.
So by the way, just to remind our listeners, Matt's Extra Life charity supports our local children's hospital in DC. And for every dollar you donate, you can request that he play 1 minute of any game that he owns or any free game.
Or any game that I can get my hands on.
For like a dollar or so.
I have most games. So if you're not sure.
Yeah, he has a whole ton.
If you're not sure
games.
If I have a game, just send me an email or a message.
And there's tons of quirky free games on Steam that you can request him to play. So. Yeah. In fact, I will note some of them in our new Steam group. I will list some of my favorite games, and then maybe Matt can have to stream some of those.
Mm. All right. And Extra Life, Small Angels Rescue is a Frederick County, Maryland-based 501c3 nonprofit, no-kill, all-volunteer organization dedicated to rescuing and rehoming gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, and rats.
Yes, so you could also donate to them. That's who we foster our rats with, and they are awesome.
And if you're looking for a new pet,
yes,
check out their website.
Definitely.
We have a link to the on our homepage on the nerdyrat.com.
And I think in every episode, too, in the show notes, we also have a link to both of those. Yeah. So
thanks everybody for listening.
All right,
have a great and we'll be back. We'll probably be releasing a new episode between the 20th and 25th.
We'll at least have a second one out by the end of the month.
Because that's going to be the lead. That's going to be the
pre-Halloween stream,
Extra Life.
Oh, let me say one last thing. We were talking last episode about Count Gordevole, and it turns out he is indeed doing a double feature at the AFI Silver. And guess who has tickets? We do.
Yep. That's like Saturday the 27th, right?
Yep. So we're going to be going there. So, all right.
Take care, everybody.
See you
next time.
Bye.